Well, Psalm 16 is a miktam of David. And that's a term that's only used six times. Psalm 16, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. And this meaning, miktam, is unclear. There seems to have been three views as to the meaning of this word. Some suggest it means a poem, psalm. Some suggest it refers to a golden jewel psalm. Some suggest it refers to an atonement psalm. And if we combine all three views together, we could say that Psalm 16 is a poem written by David that unlocks the key to this golden life, both here and in eternity, which is based on being in a right relationship with God, which is based on the atoning work of God. So, look at this with me. The atonement can bring joy to a life, and that's a fact, because that sacrifice has raised somebody from the dead. God is the source of joy and happiness, and in this life and the next, and the only place a person can find that joy and happiness is in a relationship with God that's based on the atoning work that features the resurrection. This psalm expresses the idea that David had joy in his life because of his trust in God and his fellowship with God, even when he was facing dangerous things. So let's look at this together. Now, let's look forward, though, to Acts 2:25. The Apostle Peter directly connects this psalm to Jesus Christ. In Acts 13:35, the Apostle Paul directly connects this psalm to Jesus Christ. So we may conclude that real joy and happiness and security may be only found in a relationship with God that comes through Jesus Christ. Oh, first of all, David asks God to preserve him. We see him, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." That Hebrew word preserve is one that means to preserve something by carefully watching and guarding something with the idea of keeping it safe. The contextual implication of this is that real joy and happiness is found when one realizes that God, who provided the atonement and raised him from the dead, is carefully watching, guarding, and keeping us safe. So we see here that he's saying he takes refuge in God. And a refuge is a place where we run to for safety. A refuge was considered to be a strong safe haven. And David spent a great deal of time alone, and his safe haven was God. And when he found that he was in a threatening circumstance and a threatening situation, he quickly ran to God. Now, obviously, a key lesson we see is that happiness in life comes to us when we quickly run to God in times of trouble. Times of trouble will not eliminate a joyous life if we learn to run quickly to God. You see, David knew that God was doing things for his good. It says here in verse 2, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." That's an important verse. Notice that David said to Jehovah, or Lord, that he was his Adonai, Lord. In other words, the sovereign God of the universe, who is the great I Am, who can do whatever he wants to do, was the Adonai, the master and ruler of David's life. And David could not find any good apart from God being the master of his life. The word good is one that refers to what is happy, bright, beautiful, and pleasant. David could not find any good or happiness in any place other than his relationship with God. Everything else stemmed from that. Now, it's possible to find pleasure for a brief moment apart from God, but you'll never find happiness apart from God. And true observations we can see here. One is that one will not find the ultimate good or happiness in life apart from God, and two, one will not find the good and happiness in life until God is master of that one's life. Govern your own life as your own master apart from God, and you'll end up miserable. Make God the master of life, and you're going to experience many good and wonderful and happy things. So the real question of this text is, who or what is the master of our life? And don't overlook this. David says at the end of this verse, "I have no good besides you." That's David's theology. He knew that he did not have goodness on his own apart from the grace of God. God is good and righteous, and we aren't. We're all sinners who have all gone astray. Therefore, we all need to depend on God's grace for our righteousness, just as David did. And we see that he understood that God's people are David's delight. Look at verse 3 with me. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom all is my delight. David found great delight in his fellowship with God's faithful people on earth. People who are right with God long to fellowship with others who are right with God. People who love the Word of God long to fellowship with others who love the Word of God. And this becomes a good test concerning our spirituality and a great key to our happiness. Those who love God's Word will be drawn to others of like mind. Those who are growing deep in doctrine will have deep fellowship with others of the same kind. So when God's people love God and His Word, there's just something special about that. Look at verse 4. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. They drink offerings of blood. I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. So look at the implication of that. If one goes after anything other than God, they're going to experience sorrow after sorrow. Not only will happiness be missed, but sorrow will be multiplied. And David would not associate with religious people who were involved in false religion. David's loyalty was to God and His Word, and he refused to fellowship with others who are not after that. Now, the context of that decision not to fellowship with those godless was in the context of asking God to preserve him. David could honestly ask God to preserve him from these for those very reasons. Good verse 5, he says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." So God was David's portion. Everything he had in life and would receive in life came from God. God had drawn the lines for David, and the lot of David's life was in God's hand. Now God had been very good to David, and David knew it. God had specifically marked off David's inheritance to receive the blessings of God. David compared his relationships with God as a valuable inheritance that had been passed down to him from his ancestors. He compared it to a cup filled with blessing and to an allotment that was wonderful. And we see in verse 6 a prophetic message there. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Specifically, it's implied that Israel would one day live in a beautiful, pleasant land because of her Davidic connection, and also that someone would come through David's line who would be beautiful, and that someone would be none other than Jesus Christ. God had blessed David, and he acknowledged that. See, why is David offering God his praise? Well, there's some reasons for that. We see in verse 7, "I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me." So God directed the thoughts of David. He worked through that thought process of a man who loved him and lived for him. God had counseled David through his word, and obviously David had thought a lot about it, even at night. There are many nights when David would go to sleep thinking about the word of God and the promises of God and the grace of God. Look at verse 8. He says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." David thought in terms of God continually. God was continually present in David's life and continually protecting him. He could not be moved or toppled because God was at his right hand, and God was, as it were, his right-hand man, and God would not fail David. And so when you know for sure that God is on your side, no one can shake you or rattle you. And in fact, in verse 9, it says this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." He knew, or we know, that David knew that he would not just die, just then. He says, "My flesh will dwell securely." Apparently God had revealed to David that he was protecting him and that he was not going to die. And God was going to spare David's life at that present time. So the assurance David had was in this life-threatening situation. But in that life-threatening situation, he knew God was at his side, and the outcome would be determined by him. That is why we could have this confidence even in the face of death. Then verse 10, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your soul, Holy One, see corruption." David could enjoy his life because he knew that God we take care of him beyond the grave. And these words specifically apply to Jesus Christ. You see that in Acts 2:27 and verse 31 and then 13:35. Who was not abandoned in death and whose body was not even in the ground long enough to decay. This verse predicts a Davidic king who would be resurrected, who would ultimately sit on David's throne and reign forever and ever. For David, personally, he saw death as a separation of soul from the body. But he knew when he died he had nothing to fear because God would take care of him even beyond the grave. And he also knew God was his director. Look at verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, we come across very famous people. And I had the opportunity to meet Warren Wiersbe. And I had heard that one of his favorite verses is Psalm 16:11. And that's a great verse, what we just read here. Because it clearly teaches that the path of life that knows fullness of joy and wonderful pleasure is a life being lived close with God. And it's possible for one to even know what path to take apart from the directing work of God. It is impossible for one to know that. God would make known to David the path to take, and as a result, he would know full pleasure and full joy in life. David was praising God for these wonderful things. He knew all of this hinged on his walk with God. And happiness in this life and the next is found in our relationship with God. And Psalm 16 reveals the truth of the chorus, happiness is the Lord. Those believers today who walk in the paths of God and find their refuge in God will be the happiest people on earth. It's the richest life that one can live.